Father, I truly do thank you for being here in our presence. I thank you for meeting us once again, meeting every one of our needs. I thank you for touching your children's hearts. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who abides so richly within inside this place. And Father, I'm asking that your angelic host walk to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, minister to your people, meeting each and every need. Open up the spiritual ears, Father God, so the children can hear your word tonight. This message needs to be understood, Father God, needs to be taken deep into our spirits. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that's on the words. I thank you for the anointing that's breaking every yoke and every bondage right now as the word goes forth. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was talking about the giftings this morning and how I preached about the giftings at the other church Saturday. Well, Brother Chris talked to the lady, and he said that he'd been trying to teach her people about the gifts, and they weren't getting it right. So God had me go in there Saturday and teach on the giftings, and she said it was perfect. See how God works. He knew what was going on. He always knows everything. He knows what the people needed. So he just had me go in there and put the icing on the cake, sort of. See how God will work through you. All you have to do is yield to him and be his servant, and he'll use you in a mighty way. You won't ever go wrong. You really won't. Because after all, he does know what's going on. Y'all look good in your new blue shirts. Wear them out in town. Let everybody see. Now that you look good on them, I like the blue. And red and white. Are you waking up to tell us what happened to you this morning? Give her a microphone, somebody. She's trying. She's trying to get it together.
I was, for 2 weeks, me and Iyoma were praying on the house, and I was hurting in the back area. And this morning, I couldn't take it anymore. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, I got up. I was screaming, crying out to God and say, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Take it away. And I didn't say nothing, only Iyoma knew. And we've been praying almost every night at home. And when I came over here, when Pastor Barbara told me to come on the front, my prayers were answered. And when I went on the floor, an angel took my body somewhere. I don't know where I went. But when I came back, I didn't know where I was. I was I'm trying to find the right word, you know, drunk in the spirit. And it was hard to go home. I struggled to go home, and I had to end up going to sleep. I didn't get up, honestly, until like 5 o'clock, and I was with lots of joy. All I'm saying is I got set free, and I thank you to the Lord for that.
When you have back pain, it's hard to live with you. I mean, because you're in constant severe pain and you're trying to be nice, but your back is telling you you're not going to be nice today. And so God healed her back. Then an angel took her someplace she doesn't know where. How many of you felt really tired after this morning's service? Now, that was the anointing. When the anointing hits you, it makes you really, really tired. I get in the car, I said to my husband, I can't really keep my eyes open. And, you know, but that was the anointing was so strong. And I yawned, and he said, are you having a deliverance? I said, no. I'm just sleepy. Tonight I want to teach about something, and I really want you to open up your spiritual ears right now so you can hear what God is saying to us, because it's very imperative for the rest of your walk with God. If you don't get this done, you're not going to have a walk with God. All right, it's called incomplete forgiveness. Mark 11:23-26. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Why? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We have to love one another. God is looking for a people who will be truly transformed into the likeness of his Son, Jesus. Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Did you all get that? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, I have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, to follow the story, who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Isn't that the same scenario he just went through? So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Now look what happens to him again. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. See that? So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. These are very important scriptures that we're reading here this morning. You young kids, the same applies to you. You need to forgive your mother and fathers if you think they've done something to you that they shouldn't have done. Or if they come to you and tell you they're very sorry for what they did and you still hold aught in your heart, you need to forgive him. I want you young kids to listen to this tonight. It is important to discern each individual situation. Brother Brett, would you shut this air conditioner off, please? Thank you. It is important to discern each individual situation according to God's word on the matter. God has been speaking about unforgiveness and what a deadly poison it is. Thank you. Difficult as forgiveness is to do, it has to be possible or Jesus would not demand it of us. Yes, I did say demand. It never was a suggestion. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See that? But, there's your but again, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is what somebody did you worth losing your salvation over and going to hell? You think about this tonight. A preacher was in prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer, and when he got to the part about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, see that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, God spoke to him and said, do you remember when you went to that person and asked her forgiveness and she said, sure. She had already given it long ago, but she said, don't ever expect me to be your friend or cooperate in any way with you in the future. Well, the very words that she said to you, this is God speaking, she was also saying to me that, yes, she accepted my, the Lord's forgiveness for her sins, but did not want me, God, to be her friend anymore. See that? Do you understand that? How many of us here today have not said this in words, but have implied it by our actions? The commandment is not only to forgive transgressions and offenses, but to restore the relationship. Restore the relationship. Luke 7:37, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So he said that to himself, right? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said, then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Simon did nothing for Jesus. The sinner did a lot to Jesus. So, church, I would be very quick to keep my mouth shut about a sinner, because whenever they receive Jesus Christ, they're going to do a whole lot more for Jesus than what you ever did. Because you sit in the house of God professing to be a child of God and you still sin right in the house of God. Who's going to be judged the worst? I want you to think about this, because it's very serious. The lesson here is simple. Many of us have asked the Lord's forgiveness for our sins, but never allowed him to restore us and come close, because we have shut him out by our failure to restore others. Are you understanding this? We do not realize that something is wrong because we are so conditioned by our teaching that we just automatically feel better just because we have confessed something to God. Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, talking about Jesus, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. See how he said to pray? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You're supposed to pray that God forgive you as you forgive others. You don't get 100 on that one, and you don't get a gold star. Amen. The prophet Haggai speaks of the curses experienced by those who are busy building their house while the Lord's house is in ruins. And I want to write that scripture down. I forgot. We are the Lord's house. And many of us have the curses of Haggai upon us and don't even know why. God's promises are true, so are his judgments. If we are not in a right relationship with someone who has offended us, then we are not in a right relationship with God. You know, you hear a lot of men, and probably women too, but I hear men say this, well, you're just like all the other women I know. You haven't forgiven the first woman, and you haven't forgiven any woman, and therefore you're not in right standing with God. Because you're still judging women. Are you listening here? Luke 17:1. Then he, you know what, really, whenever you're saying that, there has to be something wrong with you, because how many women have you gone through? Amen. So why don't you look inward to find out what's wrong with you that causes women to all be the same to you? Luke 17:1. Then Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I think we all need to learn that phrase, increase our faith. Think of it this way. Let's say someone has hurt us very badly, and though they know it, they have never come to us and asked forgiveness. All right? Finally, we decide that our feelings are a stumbling block to us because things keep going wrong in our life. So we think God must be trying to get us to forgive this person anyway. So we say our confession to God and go on with life, assured that now we have been obedient and all is well with God and man. But, strangely, life does not improve as we expected, nor does God seem closer. So with the passage of time, we tend to either forget the offense or conclude that we didn't really have to do anything anyway because we never did anything wrong. Then we have to begin coming up with reasons why life goes on being so rough on us. We may even mark it up to God is testing my faith or burning out some debris. Now let's stop there. Remember I told you when I was first born again, God told me I had to go and ask my husband to forgive me for talking about, no, to forgive me. And I said, well, God, I didn't do anything to him. I didn't run around. I was a good wife and blah, blah, blah. He said, but you talked about him. So you have to go and ask him to forgive you for talking about him. Remember that story? And then when I went and asked him to, I got down on my hands and knees and asked him to forgive me, he had that smirk on his face. Well, I don't know if I want to or not. And I wanted to slap him. But I sat there a little bit, got myself composed and stood up. And when I said, well, whether you want to receive it or not, I've asked you to forgive me. I've done what God's told me to do, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I felt like 1,000-pound ton of weight had dropped off my shoulders, and I was free. It didn't matter if he really received me or not. I did what God told me to do, and I did it with surety of heart. I really did mean it. If I didn't mean it, he's in my house right now today, visiting his children again. Sleeps in my house and tries to tell me how to run my house. On occasion, I restored him, no matter what he did to me for 45 years. Are you understanding this? Let's talk about the promises God has made to his covenant children. Have you ever had the courage to ask God why he didn't keep his promise to you? Have you ever had the courage to ask God why he didn't keep his promise to you? You said you would supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, I know that your idea of need and his are light years apart, but have you read Deuteronomy 28 and wondered why you don't experience that kind of blessing? You know, Deuteronomy 28 is all about the blessing. After all, that scripture describes God's heart for his obedient children. An example, maybe this is the problem. You eventually hear that this former friend is having serious difficulty and may even be thrown out of his or her home. You may take pity and offer a little money or some food or other assistance, even while thinking to yourself, God is probably paying them back for what they did to me. Don't shake your head, because that goes on. Now, consider how you would treat this person if they were your very best friend. You might even ask them to come live with you for a time. What we're talking about here is called restoration. You want God to restore you, but you don't want to restore those who have come against you, and you've come against God a whole lot more than what people have come against you. But still, no, you want God to restore you, right? Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. That's restoration. Jesus restored us on that cross. We must understand that forgiveness without restoration is not forgiveness. Come on, forgiveness without restoration is not forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is making it quite clear that when we forgive someone, but do not seek to be reconciled with them, that we can expect the very same treatment from God. We are still his children, but by our actions we have cut off the relationship from which he showers his fatherly love and blessings, and must settle for crumbs that fall from the table. Are you listening here? You know, somebody did something wrong to you, and what if they never come and told you they forgave you, and you never went to them, and what if they die and go to heaven, you die and go to heaven? What are you going to do in heaven? You have to walk the streets with them. But then you might not, they might go to heaven, and you might not. Amen? So is it really worth holding a grudge against them? Is it really worth holding aught against them? Come on. What is our remedy for one who will not be reconciled or who does not even acknowledge their wrong? James, I'm telling you, there's going to be people, there probably have already people in your life who have wronged you more times than you care to think. Somebody told me one time that person's going to take you to hell more times than you care to go. Well, guess what? They knew what they were talking about. But I still forgave them. Why? I don't want to die and go to. I don't want to die in unforgiveness and go to hell. They're not worth it. Amen. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Maybe that's why some of us are sick. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to pray for them, bless them, and love them anyway. That's what the word says. I used to always say, well, you have to forgive them, but you don't have to sit at the table with them, eat with them. That isn't what this is telling us, is it? You don't have to invite them to your home for a dinner. That isn't what we're just learning, is it? Come on. Don't point out their faults to anyone, including God. So I said, you pray for them, bless them, love them anyway. Don't point out their faults to anyone, including God. We just didn't get 100 on that one either. We got a 0. Just ask God to bless them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? I don't care what you say. If people are hurting you or hurting one of your loved ones, they are bound. And they really don't understand how the devil is using them to hurt you or your loved ones. And I'm sorry, but if you're a child of God, you need to get your act together and forgive them and start praying for them and ask God to open up their spiritual, or, you know, open up their eyes so they can see, and open up their ears so they can hear, because maybe God, just maybe God might be talking to them, and Satan has their ears so plugged they can't hear. And I mean this, guys. I live this kind of life every day of my life. I have to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And I don't mind doing that because I know that people coming against me are really bound. I live it within my own home. So I know what I'm talking about. I know this is possible. It is possible. All right, don't point out their faults to anyone, including God. Just ask God to bless them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you also know the story about this one person kept doing things against me, and I kept saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God said, don't ever pray that prayer again for them, because they do know what they're doing. They calculate and do what they're doing. So I quit praying that prayer for that person. But until he tells you that, your job is to pray for them. This, all right, if we do, just ask God to bless them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This will release God's heart in you and his blessings into your life. You know, my grandmother, my mother-in-law who passed away used to say, tell me that when you have children, when they're little, they walk all over your lap. And when they're older, they walk all over your heart. That's true. Right? So remember that. You might have thought you treated your parents just fine, but you know, maybe in God's eyes you didn't. So why are you fussing because your children aren't treating you right? Think about it. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. See this? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, live peaceably with those ones that have hurt you. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, don't get angry is what that's saying. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You hear this, Brother Larry? I'm talking about myself here because he says, I don't see why you're doing what you're doing. But the Bible says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't do it to heap coals of fire on their head because I know they're bound. I do it because I just love them. And I want to do good for them, by them. Amen. Verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, up here in 19 where he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God's always told me, daughter, do not ever try to vindicate yourself. I will vindicate you. I will take care of you in due time. And I'm telling you that tonight, God will vindicate you. When somebody's coming at you with wrath and anger, you need to keep your mouth shut. I didn't keep my mouth shut the other day and got myself in trouble with God and myself. And he said, I told you to shut up. He says, near you, look what you've done. So I took my whipping and said I was sorry. Amen. All right, the word here says as much as it depends on you, and that is of major importance. Since none of us can do anything about another person's actions or feelings, only our own. Our responsibility is to see to ourselves and to ask God to bless these others. Our responsibility is to see it to ourselves and to ask God to bless these others. God wants to come very close to his children in these last days. But we must tear down the dividing walls within our own hearts. See, this is all these things you're doing, not forgiving other people, is something's wrong in your heart. You have wounds in your soul and it's affecting your whole being and you need to get them healed. Maybe the first step in healing is to go and ask the person to forgive you or go to them and say, I really do forgive you for what you've done. Now, whether or not they even admit they did anything, because if the enemy has them blinded, they're not going to see that. But at least you went and said, I really forgive you for what you've done. Amen. And don't go saying it arrogantly either. You're supposed to do this with the love of Christ on your lips. Don't be thinking if only those other guys would get it right, we could move on into what he has been promising all along. Don't be thinking if only those other guys would get it right, we could move on into it, what he has been promising all along. And I've been saying, if you guys had just get it right, the glory would fall. And then one day I was praying and God said, God said to me, when you first started, who was with you? I said, just me and you. And he said, so everything that happened depended on what you did, not whoever else came in, what they did. I said, yes. He said, why are you blaming them then? Because I'm not dropping the glory now. He says, still just you and I. So don't blame them. Blame me if you want to blame somebody, because I already told you I'm going to drop it when I want to drop it. See, you know, I miss the boat more times than you do, probably. So what I'm saying here, trying to get the point across, is quit blaming somebody else because things aren't happening in your life the way they think should happen. Look inward. And it could be God all along not really wanting to do what you want him to do right now. God says, you're beautiful, Aaron. He loves you. He said, your heart really beats for him. But you're still thick-headed, he said. But he's working on that. If you look at him right now, he has glory on his face. God loves him. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? See that? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I want to go back here to Matthew 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. When my first husband divorced me, you know, what he did before he went and filed for divorce, he took every bit of our savings account and took it back to Pennsylvania where I couldn't find it. And then he slowly but surely took everything off the property that was of any value so I couldn't sell it when he left. And then he divorced me. Well, then he made me sign a paper. No, then he wanted to take my home. And my lawyer said, you know, I've let you go ahead and let him take everything he wanted, but I'm not letting you take your home. He was mad. So he called the husband's lawyer and said, he's not taking her home. But then the husband said, well, and the only way I won't fight for the home is if she signs a paper saying she won't take any of my military check. I said, just let him have his money. I just want my home. It's not much, but at least it's a roof over my head. The lawyer was mad at me, but you know what? I know God's taking care of me. He stole everything. He's not happy to this day, you know, and I'm happy. My mother said one day, Barbie, she said, you're too stupid to be unhappy. She said that in a loving way, you know. Maybe so, but I'm happy with life. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Oh, by the way, I didn't know this scripture existed whenever he got the divorce, all right? So I wasn't doing it for that reason. Then Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. See how we're blessed in every area. See that? So why are we so upset all the time? We're just desperately blessed. Jesus said so, and whatever he says is true. It's yes and amen. And like I think it was in the Word for today or something, God said, when did I become a man? You know, he didn't never became a man. And what he says is yes and it's amen. So where are we at in verse 12? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus saying, you know, just go ahead and be happy. The prophets before you were persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. Those after you are going to be persecuted. But he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And don't just do it because you're going to get a reward in heaven. Do it out of a heart of compassion and love. Don't always be doing something because you're expecting something. You really get blessed when you do it not expecting anything. Then 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So there he tells us we are the salt of the earth. Are you the salt of the earth? Are you able to walk in total complete love? Are you able to love the unlovely? Are you able to turn the other cheek till your cheeks pour out? You know? Then you're the salt. If not, you've lost some of your flavor. All right, 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. How bright is your light? Your light is only as bright as strong as your love walk is. I got a letter from a little note from Mary, somebody that had a car accident. What was her last name? Nolden or something like that. And she sent a note to me and she said, I want to thank you for the love that your church shows. She said, I had the accident, and she said, Christopher and Catherine were there every second with us and led us through it. And your church prayed for us. And she said, the church she was in, I forgot how many years she said, never showed us anything. But we came into the Lighthouse Church, a stranger, and everybody in there loved us. We want to thank you for being there as a light in a dark, dark world. So she said, everybody in there showed us love. And we felt so welcome when we came in there. There you go, guys. Your light was shining for her anyhow. Amen. Your light shines for a lot of people. Everybody comes to the door. All right. Verse 14 said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You just don't give your light to one or two people. You give it to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that Mary just glorified our Father in heaven because of our good works. Now, in complete forgiveness, there are those sitting in the house tonight that have incomplete forgiveness. You know that you've hurt somebody. You know you wounded them in some area. And you have not gone to them and told them you are so sorry. Or you're sitting here and somebody else is wounded or hurt you. And you will not go to them and tell them it's okay. I think I said that right. However you say it, we need to have complete forgiveness, not incomplete forgiveness. It is time that the body of Christ gets their act together and settles down and loves as my son loved the church. That just came from God. It is time that you quit hiding your light under a bushel. It's time that you quit just shining your light on a one or two. It is time that you shine your light to the whole world. Are you listening? When I was at Women's of Globe, they said, we've invited her back for I don't know how many years now, and I don't either. Why do they keep inviting me back? The light and the love. If the love wasn't there and if the light wasn't there, they sure wouldn't have invited me back the second time. Somebody there said, Chris, we had a date wrong, time wrong on our website. She came to me and she said, I said to my friend, I know that Pastor Barbara comes here this Saturday in every October. It's just a given. But they hadn't heard anything about it. So she said, let me go to the website real quick. And on the website, it said that I would be there at 10 o'clock. And it was my error, evidently, because when I typed it and sent it to Chris, I must have hit a 10 and not a 9, because it's 9 to 12, not 10 to 12. So she said, she's going to be there at 10, so we can hurry up and go. So she said, I came at 9:30, so I'd be a little bit early. And her friends came at 10, and they had never been under a prophet before. But see, she just said, and she said, I go every year because I just think she's unique and she's so different. She said, you are really different. But anyhow, but see, she knows, she even had it down to what Saturday I go, you know, what day I go there. It's the first Saturday of every October. And so she said, I just know she has to be there today. And so they looked on the website, which we're going to have to make sure, I'm going to make sure we get our times right, and check to see what I was doing. And there I was, and there they came. And she said, we were so richly blessed once again. Now, you know, you must be doing something right if somebody has it in their mind that the person's going to be there that time every year. Amen? This I'm trying to get across to you guys. See, I forgive. I really do forgive. I really do. And I don't only forgive, I forget. My kids say, don't you remember? I said, why should I remember that kind of junk? I have enough in my brain without remembering what I did 50 years ago. I just really, when something happens, if I get upset, I get upset for that moment. I'm done with it. It's done. It's gone. Why think about it any longer? You're going to hurt your mama's back. Why don't you sit on your chair, baby? Thank you. You can lay on her at home. You shouldn't do that. But anyhow, you know, why hold on to something somebody's done to you? All it's doing is dragging you down. All it's doing is stealing your joy. Are you with me tonight? And I know a lot of you in here are holding on, or God wouldn't have me do this, because I really had another service altogether, and it was really good, and I lost it, and I couldn't find it for nothing. So he had me do this. So this is what we need today. We need this tonight. You need to get your forgiveness in order. I don't care what somebody's done to you. You need to forgive. You really need to forgive. And you know, some people have done things to me and, you know, it hurt me. And then me not understanding what was going on, then I got offended with them. And then I found out, let's say 2 years later. Well, if I wouldn't have got upset with them, maybe things would be different. But I did. I got upset because he was doing this thing to me over and over and over again. I didn't understand where they were coming from. This is why we, instead of trying to figure out where they're coming from, just forgive anyhow. And don't let, when they offend you, don't let it seep in anywhere. Just say, God, you're more than enough. And you said that you would take care of me. So if you'll take care of the situation, and then you move on, please. Don't stay in that rut. It's not worth it. We all have children that have tramped all over our hearts. We all have children that we've died for. You know? And then they mess up. And they hurt you and they abuse you. It's not worth holding unforgiveness in your heart toward them. God's going to hold you accountable for all that stuff. Forgive. All right, so what we say here, we said that you went before the Father and say, Father, I forgive them. Then you go on about your business thinking it's done. It's not done. That's incomplete forgiveness. You have to go to the person. As I was putting this together, I thought about the woman who this kid shot her son, and And she told him, she says, you know, I don't hold anything against you. She said, your Father in heaven has forgiven you, and I forgive you, and I'll be praying for you that God will restore you. But he broke into the home and killed her son. Now, that is complete forgiveness. And when I saw her, this was a couple years ago, but when I watched her on the computer saying she really meant it from the very depths of her heart as she looked at this young man, and the young man just put his head down and started crying. See, he would have rather her called him all kind of names and went to slap his face, because then he could deal with that. But he could not deal with love. He could not deal with love. He could not deal with forgiveness. Are you understanding this? A lot of you in here tonight, you can't deal with love or forgiveness either. And that's why you don't forgive. And that's why you don't forget. And that's why you have incomplete forgiveness. You might have went to God and said, God, I really forgive that little broad for what she did to me. No, you didn't either. No, you didn't. So God wants you to get it right tonight. I'm giving you time to just sit there in your seat and think about people that have offended you, and if you've forgiven them properly or haven't forgiven them properly, and then God just wants to anoint you with the gifting to really forgive and forget and restore them to proper relationship. When I was first, you know, born again and in a church, this pastor really did me wrong. And when I would see her in town, she would actually go clear on the other side of a store just so she wouldn't have to speak to me. I didn't do anything to her. She did it to me. And I would stand there and I think, God, that's terrible. But I forgive her anyhow for treating me like this, because I did absolutely nothing to her except leave the church when God told me to. I did not talk about her. I don't do that. But yet she could not look at me in a store and say, hi, this is what happened. We was at the same dress rack. And I had to look up, and she did too. We was facing each other, face to face. She turned around and ran to the other side of the store. Now, see, that's not godly. This was a pastor. Now, have you done that? And like, well, Kenneth Hagin one time says where he saw his brother coming down the street, and he went on the opposite side of the street because he didn't want to run into his brother, because his brother was a heathen and wouldn't get saved, and he didn't want to be in his presence. Now, see, that wasn't right. He shouldn't be able to walk down the street and say, hi, brother, how are you? Whatever his name, brother's name was. Now, that wasn't right. So, it's up to you tonight. Is your forgiveness complete? Only you and God knows that. And please don't deceive yourself saying it is when it isn't. And everything that happens in your life happens for a purpose. Always remember that. All right? Nothing happens by happen chance. It all happens for a purpose. Look at Joseph. Joseph was a good kid, but he was the father's favorite, and the brothers got jealous of him. Look at old Joseph there. The home, they say that about Gabriel. You think he can do no wrong. No, I know he does wrong, believe me. But I just love him like I love everybody else. But they're jealous of my love for him. And he has to pay for that love dearly sometimes. That's not right. That's not right. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how many kids you have. There's always going to be a favorite. There really is. There just is. And I was, for some reason or other, God put the firstborn in my heart the other night. The firstborn child is always a special child. I think he did that because I was my father's first child. And he spoiled me rotten, but yet he corrected me too. I wished he wouldn't have spoiled me because he corrected me terribly. But yet, you know, he loved me the most out of all of his children. And maybe it's the way with you. Your first child might be somebody very special to you. Yeah, I don't know, but you always do have a favorite. That's just a given. All right. Have you been thinking this over really good? You have to forgive no matter what they're doing to you or to your children. You have to forgive them. That's just the way it is. That's God's law, not mine. We read it. You know where the altar's at now. God's going to give you a special anointing to really forgive and restore relationships and forget and go on with your life so that he can forgive you. This is a matter of life and death here tonight. Life in Christ or death, one or the other.